The following is a paid program on AM 1220 KLBB. The views expressed do not necessarily represent the views of the station owner or management or Endurance Broadcasting, LLC.
Well, hold your paper zip high.
Good morning and welcome to Voices in the Valley, where we celebrate the creative spirit and nurture the art of storytelling. My name is Steph, and I've got Dee here with me today.
Hello.
And she's going to behave this time around. I know it, right, Dina? No old stories? No embarrassing moments?
No, I'm good.
I'm actually
for now
having second thoughts about you being my co-host.
Sometimes I just can't help it.
There are way too many stories that you know about me, and some of them my kids don't know.
I don't usually say much.
So let's not talk about those. Oh, and then my mom. Oh, my goodness. Mom, stop listening. No, I'm just kidding. Anyways, it's so fun to be here today because we get to kick off something really cool and phenomenal called The Big Read. Dina, this is something when we were in Woodbury, I don't think we ever had. But it's a really, really cool deal. It's called the NEA Big Read. NEA, of course, is the National Endowment for the Arts. Mm-hmm. And it's presented by ArtReach St. Croix in conjunction with core program partners, including Valley Booksellers, Stillwater Public Library, River Falls Public Library, St. Croix Festival Theater, and library branches located up and down the St. Croix River. Isn't that neat? And here's what it means. An entire community, meaning the St. Croix River Valley, all reads the same book.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And in this case, it's the noir classic, The Maltese Falcon by Dashiell Hammett.
Okay.
And then there are a number of literary events and visual art and performing art opportunities that are around the book and based on the themes of the book. But in the meantime, I'm so delighted today that we have got the director of The Real Inspector Hound, Festival Theater's very own Rachel. Say your last name.
Coonley.
Hello. Rachel.
Welcome.
Yes.
Thank you.
Welcome to Voices in the Valley.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you, and it's really timely that you would be here today, because tonight is
opening
night of The Real Inspector Hound. So first, let's make sure we get those details out about the opening so that people can jot that down, and then we'll repeat it later on in the show. But tell us about the opening and about Real Inspector Hound.
Yes, well, we open tonight, April 8th, and it is a 7:30 show, and then our run continues throughout the month of April. Our closing is April 30th. We run Friday and Saturdays with 7:30 shows, and then we have Sunday matinees at 2 p.m.,
Oh, I love it. Well, I want to hear more about The Real Inspector Hound. Mm-hmm. But first, for those who might not be familiar, you know, people in Woodbury, like Dina.
You know, and I'll live here.
Might not realize what a gem of a theater there is on the Wisconsin side. So tell me a little bit about the Festival Theater.
Sure. Well, Festival Theater, we are in our 27th season, and it's actually my first season on staff.
Excellent.
And we are a small professional theater. We always produce a musical every season. We have a concert series. We do arts education programming, and we really serve St. Croix Falls, Taylor Falls, in the greater St. Croix Falls, or St. Croix Valley.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
And as a part of that, you are producing The Real Inspector Hound. So tell me about that play. And I'll give you a little hint about it in case you've forgotten in your term, you know, or you've just been involved in it so long you can't think how to summarize it. Because I love the summary that was on the little postcards that ArtReach St. Croix and crew sent out. And they say, The Real Inspector Hound, a comedic homage to the mystery genre in which a theater critic gets swept up into the action of the play while answering that constant nagging question, who done it?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Dun, 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 dun.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yes.
So tell me more about the play.
Well, it is a play written in the late 1960s by British playwright Tom Stoppard. Tom Stoppard is sort of a favorite playwright of many people. He's very funny. He's known for his wit and kind of his wordplay. And this is, it's farcical. It's very funny. It's smart, but there's a lot of physical gags. It's really kind of got something for everybody. It's very playful. It's It's part of a genre of theater called theater of the absurd, which is kind of best described where wacky things happen, but it's taken totally straight at face value. Like it becomes part of the world. So I think audiences are really going to enjoy sort of the playful nature of the show. It's also kind of a satire of whodunit. I think the closest satire would be The Mousetrap, which is a play by Agatha Christie, and that's a really famous whodunit. It's one of the most produced plays in the world. It kind of plays on, you know, the all-knowing inspector or kind of detective. It sort of spoofs the femme fatale kind of character who may or may not be the murderer. All the characters in the play just lay out their motivations for why they may have killed the main character. And it's very playful and funny. So it's very much in the spirit of The Maltese Falcon and a really wonderful addition to the big read.
Oh, absolutely. So let me ask you this. Which came first? Which did you read first, The Maltese Falcon or this play?
The Real Inspector Hound. Mm-hmm. I did read The Real Inspector Hound first, and then I read The Maltese Falcon.
Did The Maltese Falcon and reading The Maltese Falcon inform of how you directed the play?
Yes, it definitely informed the way that we've approached the play. It also kind of gave us a shorthand to talk about the play, and it gave us a shorthand of talking in rehearsal. We'll be like, oh, you're being such a spade right now, and everybody knows exactly who we mean, and you're being an O'Shaughnessy and all those fun sort of character names, and making some choices to sort of play up moments where those characters really shine in the book. So
I love it. For those listeners who might not have had the opportunity to read The Maltese Falcon yet, Sam Spade is the private eye detective and actually helped make Humphrey Bogart and also, I forget the director of the movie, John Huston. It was the very first movie that he directed and helped launch him to fame. So that's Sam Spade, and obviously the main character of The Maltese Falcon. And then Bridget O'Shaughnessy is the femme fatale, a woman who comes in letting people know that the Falcon is missing and then, of course, muddies the plot, so to speak. So those do become fun cultural references. All right, wonderful. So remind us all again about opening night.
Opening night is tonight, April 8th, 7:30. We're also going to have our Afterglow reception, which is our special opening night. There will be food and drinks, and the cast will come out and mingle with everybody. So if you're interested in being a part of the party tonight, specifically, we've got Afterglow going on. And then we have shows Friday, Saturday, and Sunday all throughout April.
And this is at the St. Croix Festival Theater, located in St. Croix Falls, Wisconsin.
That's us.
And tell us your website and where we can find information.
You can find more information at www.festivaltheater.org.
And that's where we would get our tickets as well?
Yes, you can get our tickets online or call our box office.
And the number for your box office is?
I don't have it memorized. Fail. Oh, epic fail. I've only been on staff since January, so
you're forgiven. I'll tell you what. I think we should give our listeners a challenge.
There you go.
If they go out, they find the number, and they said, hey, I listened to you on Voices in the Valley, and I found the number. I think, you know, they should get a special treat at the Afterglow party or something.
Yeah, they can get a signed program by the cast.
I love it.
We'll all sign the program.
I'm going to Google the number as soon as we're done with this segment.
You had one job to do.
Well, thank you so much, Rachel, for being on Voices in the Valley. We appreciate it. We have a particularly fun mid-program highlight during the month of April. In the spirit of the Big Read, the Shire's middle school audio drama team has created an original radio play as a part of their podcast Shush called Don't Whine Over Lost Robots. This weekly series. It is. It was based actually off of Hush's Don't Cry Over Cold Tea, the first episode. So these middle schoolers, they're ambitious. They have dreams and schemes, and they have based their radio play on the Maltese Falcon with many, many liberties taken and many plot twists. Sometimes hard to keep up with, but always intriguing and interesting and definitely entertaining and definitely worth the listen, because we are following the adventures of detective, get this, Samantha Shovel. Get it? Sam Spade, Samantha Shovel.
Oh, yeah.
and her friends. So listen in to Voices in the Valley each Saturday in April as Samantha and crew attempt to find and save a vitally important robot-human hybrid named Ro-Man. Get it? Roman?
Dear.
That's up next.
Welcome to Shush, Don't Whine Over Lost Robots, written and performed by middle school students, except me, on the Shire's audio drama team. Don't Whine is part of a Big Read experience, which is made possible through a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts and thanks to the leadership of Artreach St. Croix.
Because of the NEA's grant, students ages 10 to 14 were able to come together to learn about radio plays and podcasting, and then write their own original script. Professional actor Randall Berger worked with the students to rehearse their part. 4 episodes and 34-page script later. Don't Whine Over Lost Robots was recorded in a local sound studio and features the music of the St. Croix Jazz Orchestra.
This weekly series follows the adventures of the detective Samantha Shovel and her friends and was inspired by the Maltese Falcon, but with a twist.
Instead of a male detective and a femme fatale, there's a female detective and a homme fatale. There's also a cat who thinks she's a dog. It's a little bit wacky, but a whole lot of fun. We hope you enjoy this original production, and if you haven't heard the earlier episodes, make sure to check them out at theshireonline.com.
Hello there. My name is Shaw, and I'm a dog.
Samantha Shovel, Private Eye, how can I help? No, I have plenty of credit cards. I don't need any more.
Trowel, here, kitty, kitty.
Kitty?
You might be wondering who I am. Am I a dog, a cat, or even a charmingly gorgeous animal? I'm all those things. Well, I'm really a cat. But I want to be a dog. I mean, dogs can purr too, you know.
Samantha, Ro-Man is gone.
Oh, brother. More clients? My human, Samantha Shovel, is one of the only 10 investigators left in all of Nalid. Looks like Alexander Axton has a problem he needs her to solve.
Did you hear me? Dr. Harley Hammer sent him over to me for a special valve he needed to fix an oil leak, and he's gone.
Ro-Man is Dr. Harley Hammer's human-robot hybrid. Harley invented him. Alexander owns the largest factory in town, producing the hybrid that Harley invented. It's also where all the best hybrids go when they need to soak up a little oil.
I heard you, Alexander.
This is urgent. Harley told me Ro-Man carries the code to cure the virus affecting the human-robot hybrids, and now he's disappeared. Poof! Gone!
That's particularly unfortunate. We're having a major issue in Hybridland. The human-robot hybrids who take care of our daily chores so that humans can lounge around and play video games in a big virtual reality costume are being destroyed by a terrible virus.
Are you certain Harley didn't just come back to get him and maybe forgot to tell you? Or maybe he left a note that you didn't see?
I hadn't yet fixed Roman's oil leak. I patched it over with duct tape so that he can make me spaghetti. Oh, mamma mia!
Isn't that illegal? Or at least bad manners?
At Axton Industries, our motto is, we treat your stuff like it's my stuff.
When was the last time you saw Ro-Man?
Meow. I feel a little sorry for the guy. Maybe a rub on the leg will help?
Get that cat away.
I'm a dog.
Last time I saw Roman, he was cleaning up from dinner. When he finished, it was so late, I plugged him in and went straight to bed. Today I went out and came back, and he was gone!
Interesting. I wonder if Jamie Link knows anything. He's been working on a case where a human-robot hybrid had its bolts removed. By the way, have you told Harley about this yet?
No, I was hoping you'd find Roman before Harley realized he was gone. Do you know what this could do to my business if word gets out?
Hope I no feel good. Hobart does not feel well. Vitals detected. Pineapple, this is not a good sign.
Oh, you poor little thing. Let's get you plugged back in.
Yeah. Samantha's human-robot hybrid named Hobart is sick too, with the virus, and she's desperate to save him. I'm not real patient with the sick, whether they're human or hybrid human robots. Alexander seems particularly ignorant. A cat. I'm getting out of here. Let's see what's happening outside. Samantha always leaves the window open, so it's easy for me to slip in and out. I love to eavesdrop. Nobody expects a dog to overhear their secrets, especially when they mistake me for a cat. Ugh. There's always something interesting to hear or see, like, intriguing. Look at that. Private eye Jamie Link is getting into his Mercedes convertible, where Roboride, his human-robot hybrid, is already bolted in. Shush! Don't talk. Let's listen.
Hello, Mr. Link. How are you today?
Be quiet and just drive.
I do say, it is bad traffic tonight, sir.
I told you, don't call me sir.
Approaching the Silverstone Bridge.
What are you talking about? We're not even near the bridge. You haven't even pulled out into traffic.
I have the map. I have the map.
You all right now?
Abandoned car. Oh no, I can't. I'm bolted in.
Wowie, this seems troubling. Samantha, I better head back in.
What was that?
There has been a crash outside. A crash.
Oh no, Hobot, go back to your charging station.
Cat, move. The car exploded. We need to find out who was in that car. But how?
Chips.
Now is not the time for chips, Hobot. Go back to your charging station.
Chips, of course.
Now is not the time for food.
No, the computer chip. That's how we find out who was in the car.
If only humans can understand meowking. The language of dogs is more complex than you might think. Ruff. I, of course, know it was Jamie Link. Now there are 9 private investigators left in the lead.
Don't Whine Over Missing Robots, Season 1 of Shush, was written and performed by students ages 10 to 14 from the St. Croix Valley. Our writing and acting team included
Gigi as Trowel,
Finn as Alexander,
Lily as Samantha Shovel, Parker as Pierre Pitchfork,
Summer Day as Hobot and Jamie Link, and Mitch as Roboride,
Romy as Ruby Ratchet,
Sam as Dr. Holy Hammer and Roman,
Liam as Frank.
Thanks to the St. Croix Jazz Orchestra for sharing their music with us. This entire endeavor was made possible by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts, coordinated by ArtReach St. Croix for the NEA Big Read, a program of the National Endowment for the Arts in partnership with Arts Midwest. Don't Whine Over Missing Robots is a production of the Shire Literary Center under its nonprofit Parent Story Arc. For more information on the Shire's audio drama team experience, including details about our student-produced sci-fi podcast series Hush, contact executive producer Stephanie Atkins at steph@theshireonline.com.
Anyone want chips?
Life was simpler back in the day. The pace was slower, and the food more genuine somehow. It's still that way at Wayback Burgers. We use only fresh, authentic ingredients. Our delicious, juicy burgers are made to order and cooked to perfection. And our thick, creamy milkshakes are hand-dipped with real ice cream, the old-fashioned way. With Wayback's relaxing atmosphere and great food, things are as they were, only better. Taste freshness, America. Wayback Burgers.
My dad says I'm his pride and joy. My mommy says I was her big surprise. My mom says I'm her best helper.
I'm adopted. My dad says I was a gift.
That's right, kids. Each of you are a miracle and a blessing from God. Hello, my name is Angie. I work with Pro-Life Across America, the billboard people. If you know someone who is pregnant and in need of confidential counseling, including alternatives to abortion or post-abortion assistance, please call Pro-Life Across America at 1-800-366-7773 or check us out online at prolifeacrossamerica.org. Pro-Life Across America is educational, non-political, and tax-deductible. Please help support our life-saving outreach.
A baby child is being 18 days from conception. Pro-Life Across America,
the billboard people. We've been family-owned since 1922, and we still believe that it all starts with you.
Find your bonus tag at Stillwater Motors. Hurry in and save up to $11,000 on new 2017 Chevy 1500 Silverado Crew Cabs. Find new roads with your next vehicle from Stillwater Motors. Redunds family owned since 1922. Call 651-HEY-CHEV or go to stillwatermotors.com.
Stillwater Motors, good people to know.
This is Steph here on Voices in the Valley, and in honor of the NEA Big Read presented by ArtReach St. Croix and programming partners, we are dedicating the second half of our show in April to the Maltese Falcons audio guide produced by the National Endowment for the Arts. If you are just tuning in, the NEA Big Read in the St. Croix Valley is a one-book, one-community program that brings together residents from throughout the St. Croix Valley around the Maltese Falcon. Written by Dashiell Hammett. Enjoy the Big Read Podcast, Segment 1.
And now, the Big Read.
Hello. Yes, speaking. Dead? Yes, 15 minutes. Thanks. Cold, steamy air blew in through two open windows, bringing with it half a dozen times a minute the Alcatraz foghorn's dull moaning. Where Bush Street roofed Stockton before slipping downhill to Chinatown, Spade paid his fare and left the taxicab. San Francisco's night fog, thin, clammy, and penetrant, blurred the street. A few yards from where Spade had dismissed the taxicab, a small group of men stood looking up an alley. Two women stood with a man on the other side of Bush Street, looking at the alley. There were faces at windows.
That was Scott Simon reading The Maltese Falcon by Dashiell Hammett. Welcome to The Big Read. The Big Read is a program created by the National Endowment for the Arts in partnership with the Institute of Museum and Library Services. I'm Josephine Reed. The largest reading program in American history, The Big Read is designed to unite communities through the transformative joys of literature. And now, here's your host, poet and former chair of the NEA, Dana Gioia.
Today, we'll discuss the classic detective thriller, The Maltese Falcon, by Dashiell Hammett.
He's permanently placed at the top of the pile in the hard-boiled school. Maltese Falcon is, without a doubt, the most widely read, most widely taught, most widely discussed novel of that movement.
It so perfectly represents the 20s and the tough guys of that period, the gangsters, all the things that now belong to history.
The story of the Maltese Falcon is looking for your dreams. And the turn of the Maltese Falcon is, this is something you're never going to find.
What's the point of it all? I mean, that's what the book sort of asks. And that's what's so wonderful about Sam Spade, is that he laughs. He knows it's all pointless. Love, connection. The only thing that has a point is loyalty to your buddy.
The story of the Maltese Falcon is, who killed Miles Archer?
Dashiell Hammett's 1930 novel, The Maltese Falcon, set a new high mark for detective fiction, one to which all serious future writers of the genre would aspire. Not only did Hammett introduce readers to a new kind of hard-boiled hero with Samuel Spade, he also gave us a book that crossed the line from pulp fiction to great literature. Novelist Adrian McKinty.
Maltese Falcon is the story of a detective called Sam Spade, and he's part of this detective agency of Spade and Archer, who are partners, and they have this small office in San Francisco. And into his office one day, a lady comes in, who we subsequently learn is called Bridget O'Shaughnessy. And as the story goes on, we discover that she's involved in this nefarious scheme to get this object, this beautiful medieval object called the Maltese Falcon.
Literary critic Maureen Corrigan.
And Spade is also trying to solve the mystery of the death of his partner, Miles Archer. And the two plots seem to intertwine here.
Novelist Walter Mosley.
Hammett is always talking about heroes who are flawed. And so here you have Sam Spade, who's been having an affair with his partner's wife, and his partner gets murdered. And Sam Spade has to figure out where he stands in relation to the world after the murder of this partner who he's cuckolded.
Spade is competing with this group of criminals led by a mastermind named Gutman to try to find the Falcon first. And of course, also along the way, he meets the femme fatale, Bridget O'Shaughnessy.
At the start of the novel, the beautiful Bridget O'Shaughnessy enters Sam Spade's office with a phony story. But it doesn't take him long to learn her real motive for seeking his help. She's desperately trying to recover the priceless falcon before the others can find it. One by one, Spade meets the criminals who work with, and often against, Bridget. Adrian McKinney.
This is a very motley crew. These are people who you wouldn't ordinarily see together. Gutman is a guy who is obsessed with his own image. He's a bon vivant, a throwback character to the 19th century. Joel Cairo is unctuous and slimy and creepy. And then there's the punk kid Enforcer. And he's very, very young and completely outgunned and outclassed by Spade.
Novelist Diane Johnson knows the setting of the Maltese Falcon well. She lives much of the year in Sam Spade's Fog City.
This book takes place in San Francisco, and it very much evokes the atmosphere of San Francisco with the fog and the hills and the little alleys and the atmosphere of a port with ships coming in, sinister people.
It actually takes place between December 5 and 10, 1928.
Dashiell Hammett's granddaughter, Julie Rivette.
You can walk through the novel, through the streets of San Francisco. You can find the same hotels, the same restaurants, the apartments, the streets.
Writer Joe Gores worked for years in San Francisco as a private detective and repo man. He also wrote the novel Hammett, which was made into a film in 1982.
San Francisco is a very interesting city to have a novel set in, because unlike almost any other major city, there's very little organized crime in San Francisco. Never has been. Back in the 20s, they used to send those guys back to Chicago in a boxcar and a coffin. You know, San Francisco, corruption was local and they wanted to keep it local.
One of the reasons the Maltese Falcon endures today is because of its unforgettable and complicated leading man, Sam Spade, who remains a literary and cinematic icon. Adrian McKinney.
Sam Spade's like a bolt from the blue. He's like nothing you find anywhere else in American letters. Mark Twain started giving us very realistic American archetypes, but I think it was Dashiell Hammett who really presented them in all their authenticity to us.
Joe Gores.
Spade is indeed the epitome of the private detective. The best private detective I know is a guy named David Fetchheimer in San Francisco. Dave always says, Spade is absolutely what a private detective should be, and what we all do sort of think we are. He's the man.
Maureen Corrigan.
We're told in the first paragraph that Sam Spade was a blonde Satan. And right there you get this mixture with Spade of the hero, but also the devil. I think you could read this novel 1,000 times and you couldn't say for sure which side of the law Sam Spade is really supposed to be on.
Sam Spade's jaw was long and bony, his chin a jutting V under the more flexible V of his mouth. His nostrils curved back to make another smaller V. His yellow-gray eyes were horizontal. The V motif was picked up again by thickish brows, rising outward from twin creases above a hooked nose, and his pale brown hair grew down from high flat temples in a point on his forehead. He looked rather pleasantly like a blonde Satan.
Walter Mosley.
The beginning of the novel, Sam Spade has one set of morals, which allows him, for instance, to cuckold his partner without having any disdain for him, really. It's an existentialist book inasmuch as somebody has to make a decision about how they're going to live their life. And Sam Spade does that, and Sam Spade changes. He becomes a different man, even though I think he doesn't believe it's possible to become a different man.
The NEA Big Read audio guides are licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 4.0 International License. NEA Big Read is a program of the National Endowment for the Arts in partnership with Arts Midwest. Thanks so much for joining us here today on Voices in the Valley. Listen in next week to hear the second segment of the NEA podcast and also have the opportunity to hear Jeff from the Stillwater Correctional Facility's Art Education Program. He'll be joining us to share about an exhibition of work created by inmates called Know My Story. Join us every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on KLBB 1220. Watch the show in its entirety on our Voices in the Valley YouTube channel. Find us online as well at voicesinthevalley.us and listen to us on all the podcast directories.